which is from Revelation. It's page 1234, right at the towards the back of the Bible. And we're looking this morning at the letter which is written to the church in Pergamum. Just before we do that, let's think about what we're coming here today to do and to ask God to speak to us through his word. Let's pray. Father, please quieten our hearts. Help us now to think about this, your word, and help us to hear you as you speak through it. Though we ask this in your name. Amen. John wrote these words in his gospel. Jesus Christ is the truth, and we must hold fast to him and not knowingly tolerate or be led astray by error. And Jesus said in John's gospel to the Jews who had believed and put their faith in him, "If you hold to my teaching, you really are my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." At the start of this letter to the church in Pergamum, Jesus says, "I know where you live. You live where Satan has his throne." He knows about the environment that the church in Pergamum is set in, a strong centre of paganism. But another form of worship posed an even greater threat to this church. Pergamum was the political capital of the Roman province of Asia and the centre of emperor worship. The emperor Domitian had demanded to be worshipped as Lord and God. And because Pergamon was the seat of the Roman provincial government and the centre of emperor worship, it was the city where Satan lived and where Satan had his throne. Yes, Satan and his army have been overthrown. At the cross, Jesus met and conquered all forces of evil. But despite their overthrow, the powers of darkness continue to contest every inch of territory as the kingdom of God advances. Satan persecutes the church, and as we've seen, Antipas had already died for his faith. Satan also tries to seduce the church in more subtle ways. This young church was under pressure to conform and to compromise, to lessen the importance of absolute truth, to give up on Jesus as the way, the truth, the life. I wonder, does that ring any bells for us today? Certainly, it would seem that today some churches are prepared to tolerate false teachers and teaching. Although the word absolutely is used more now than ever in general conversation, there is a lack of holding to absolute truth, both in the world and in the church. Christian doctrine and morality are being subverted from within the church. Jesus is not seen as the truth or the only way to the Father by very many. We live in a society which we are told is pluralistic, where even the England football team has a faith healer, and where tolerance and political correctness can be as supreme virtues, and yet, where there is sometimes open hostility to the Christian faith. At present, we don't face the sentence of death for our faith, but in the future, there could be real conflict between the church and the state. So, what had Christ to say to the church at Pergamum, which was oppressed by such influences and pressures? And what does Christ say to us today as a church? In 5 of the 7 letters to the 7 churches, Jesus says these words, "I know your deeds." As we've seen in Pergamon's case, he says, "I know where you live, where Satan has his throne." He means that he understands their situation. He realizes and knows the pressures they have to bear. He knows because he walks among them as a church. And in verse 13, he encourages, commends and praises them as a church for holding fast in a pressured time and place. He says, "You live where Satan has his throne, yet you remain true to my name. You did not renounce your faith in me, even in the days of Antipas, my faithful witness, who was put to death in your city." We're told how Antipas was martyred. His courage and commitment to the truth cost him his life. And Jesus gives him his own special title. He calls him my faithful witness. We're often reminded of those who face persecution for their faith in Christ and their loyalty to the truth of the gospel, even unto death today. Christians in China, Pakistan, Sudan, Colombia, Nigeria are just a few of those such places. I ask, are we willing to be faithful witnesses even unto death? Are we willing to confess and hold fast that Jesus is Lord when other types of pressures tempt us away and encourage us to compromise? Under pressure or persecution, who do we worship and submit to as Lord? It's so easy, isn't it, to say different things to different people, depending on where they're coming from. If we do remain faithful, then we will bring glory to Christ and encourage others to be faithful to the truth and to resist temptation from the evil one. We may not face death in this country for our faith, but we do face pressures. The church lives where Satan lives. The church is there in the darkness to bear witness to the light, costly though that may be. And Christ, as well as understanding their and our situation, reminds us that he has the sharp double-edged sword. The enemies of Christ and the gospel will be judged if there is no repentance. Christ is more powerful than any opponent the faithful church faces on our earth. And this is an important reminder for the church in Pergamon, where the proconsul of the Roman province of Asia had unlimited powers. The sword was a symbol of his rule. But in the end, his power is no match for the sword which comes from the mouth of Christ. His word is a sharp sword, which, we're told, will strike down the nations, which will be ruled with an iron scepter. One writer wrote these words: "In a world of brute force, it is some comfort to know that what counts most in the end is not the size of a nation's army or the megatonnage of its bombs, but the word of the one who was crucified." In verses 14 to 16, Christ accuses the church at Pergamum of tolerating false teachers and their practices which hold not to Christ, but to the teaching of Balaam and the Nicolaitans, both of a false cult. What was hated in Ephesus and hated by Christ, that is, the practices of the Nicolaitans, was tolerated in Pergamum. To Jesus, the Lord of the church, this was not on. And it's a real concern of his that the truth of the gospel should be guarded unsullied and unspoiled. Yes, he is anxious that we should love him and be willing to suffer bravely for him. But he's also concerned that we should believe in him and hold to the truth about him. He isn't concerned about doctrine. He loves the truth. He speaks the truth. He is the truth. Therefore, we cannot be indifferent about his truth. Most at Pergamum were walking in the truth, but Jesus was hurt and concerned by the waywardness of the minority and by the nonchalance of the majority. He's asking, "Does it mean nothing to you that my name is being dishonored by some and my faith denied? Repent. Repent, therefore." Are we humbly walking in the truth? Are we holding to the central doctrinal truths about Christ? That he is God and Saviour, the divine Lord to whom we submit as Lord and in whom we trust? Or are we tempted to tolerate dishonouring his name, denying our faith, both here and in the wider church? Too many churches today want too much tolerance shown over the lack of commitment to fundamental Christian faith, Christian truth. The church at Pergamum had courageously kept the faith under pressure and persecution, and yet was in danger of being quietly subverted by false teaching in its tolerance and laxity. Another writer said these words: "The mobs attack the front door, but false ideas are more like airborne germs coming up between the cracks of the floorboards." We live in a world where trends and non-Christian dogmas are presented powerfully to us every day in the media. God's way to overcome error is the proclamation of the glorious gospel of Christ. One truth can defeat error, not inquisitions. And God's weapon for the conquest of error is the sword of Christ's word. It is our major weapon against Satan. Let's make sure we individually and as a church submit to the truth of his word, because one day the sword of Christ's word will devour the unrepentant. Finally, in verse 17, Christ promises to all who overcome some of the hidden manna and a white stone with a new name written on it. What does he mean? What kind of reward is this? Jesus is saying that for those whose faith is in him, they will receive the true bread from heaven, which gives life to the world. John said it will be in a messianic banquet of glory. For those who have repented and put their trust in him as Saviour, as Lord, a new name will be written on that white stone, known only to him or her who receives it. We will each meet with Christ privately and personally in heaven, where we will receive a fuller revelation of himself, face to face. So, will you, will I, receive that white stone? In view of this, let's not fall for or tolerate Satan's lies. Let's not be devoured by the prowling lion who is Satan when we leave here this morning. Let's not conform to the lifestyles and the mindset of this world, but rather, let's be transformed by the renewing of our minds, guarding the truth of the gospel, and contending for the truth of our faith, and holding that truth in love. Amen. Thank you.